All right. We were talking this morning about sleep, actually, and how much we're getting and stuff. And, you know, and I'm like, man, I used to have 10 hours. But I was doing a lot of highly physical things. And I'm no longer doing those same physical things, but I just had to have sleep. And even when I'd get set 7 to 8 hours, I would wake up in the morning thinking, I'm going to bed early tonight. And I'd go to bed at the same time. But I would sleep in on Saturdays. And, when I didn't work. But I don't know, here the last several weeks, I'm getting between 4 and 5 hours of sleep. And I'm like, Lord, why am I up? I didn't go to sleep at 8 o'clock so that I wouldn't wake up at 3. Well, now I'm waking up at 4 and 5. And but several of these mornings, I wake up. The one morning was the morning that I woke up, and I remember consciously in my sleep telling God I would do what he said to do for that family. And it's like, I woke up because I went to bed depressed. I was like, Lord, I don't know why I'm depressed. I don't know what's going on here. You know, I'm like, he went to heaven. Jesus is his Lord. I know that. But why? I mean, other than the fact that, you know, all I'm thinking about is they've been married 17 years. They got 4 little kids. And, you know, the whole gamut. And it's like, man, he's not going to see him grow up or meet his grandkids and all this stuff. And it's like, But mine's not to question why, Lord. So I woke up to think that, but I wake up with songs going on through my head. And not just a whole song, one specific verse. And this morning it was Trenches. Use the name that's above all names. It's a really good song by Behold the Beloved. And the other morning I woke up and there's a song by Petra called In a Perfect World. And it's talking about when Jesus rules and reigns in a perfect world. And God spoke into my spirit that morning. He said, in a perfect world, shalom. What? Peace? He said, no, Art, think about it. What's your definition of perfect? Flawless, right? That's one of them. And in our vernacular, that's exactly what we think of. If we look at a car, it's immaculate. It's perfect. Ooh, look at that guy. Look at those perfectly chiseled abs. Yeah, he's not that smart. Get a little bit of cushioning over him. Those that you have them, I'm really not jealous. Oh, come on. There we go. But being entirely without fault or defect, that's what we have the mentality of perfect. It also means satisfying all requirements, accurate. Faithfully reproducing the original. Legally valid. Those are all the definitions we give. And one of the obsolete ones is maturity, which is the primary one, in particular the New Testament, is what it means. And I'm like, okay, God, but what about perfection? God's ways are perfect. Now, does it always feel perfect? Absolutely not. You're like, where are we going, Lord? What's going on here? Why do I got to go to this stinky little island in the middle of the South Pacific? Couldn't I find you in my own country? What was going on? God's plans are so much, his ways are so far above ours. And I really began to think, and I know I've talked about perfection before, but see what perfection does in our world, and when we get to thinking about it, is it causes us to never be able to move to the next thing. If if you're trying to build something exactly perfect, understand something. There's nothing exactly perfect. Nothing. Well, you know, they got this and this and this. And no, they're accurate. There's nothing perfect. God is the only thing, the only being, the only anything that is perfect. His ways are not our ways, but we think, God, it has to happen like this. God says, no, watch this. And we forget that his ways lead us to a maturity. That's why it says when his ways are perfect. They're leading us to that maturity. It would have been so nice, you know, guys in particular, I can only speak from a guy, you know, in your early 20s to mid to late 20s is about the time the shift really happens. Wouldn't it have been nice to have had the knowledge of your 30s? Dad's not an idiot. I see why this took place. I see why they did this. I now understand these things. You get a little older and, you know, you keep going up and you keep moving in your age and it's like, okay, well, yeah, I wish I'd have known that back then. But the only thing that got you there were the perfect ways, the maturing ways. Would you have known not to grab hold of that wire if you hadn't grabbed it? That's the thing. People, I hate to say it, it's a guilty pleasure. I like watching taser videos. And I watched this gal the other day. She's cussing this cop. He's like, come here. No, you ain't touching me. You ain't. You, blah, 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 blah. He says, you're under arrest. She did something. You're under arrest. Oh, no, I ain't. And he said, come back here or I'm going to tase. Why are you going to tase me? He said, because you're under arrest. Oh, no, I ain't. And she turned around and went, burr, burr. And she hollered out and she's like, I got up. I'm like, learn your lesson. I forget what it's like, 10,000 volts or something. And it's like, learn your lesson. Oh, no. She got up running around. Stop! I was like, oh. I don't know why I'm getting so much enjoyment out of this, but I think it's because stupid people get stupid rewards. But hopefully she learns. I know she hit the cop before she got away from him, so I'm like, well, there's your first offense. But if you hadn't fallen out of that tree, if you hadn't wrecked your bike, oh, I'd have been so much better off. No, you learn what not to do now. Perfection is not never having an experience. It's maturity. But you see, in Matthew 25, 43 through 48, it talks about God and his ways. They're the only things that are perfect. It's not coming up. But it blows apart our ideology that I can never make a mistake. Did you ever turn the wrong way on a highway? Or we were talking about this morning. Did you ever listen to your GPS when it told you to turn one way and you're like, there's no road there? We were talking about it, it's like, and Rob was like, I swear it told me to turn left. And I agree. Because we've talked about it, like, wait a minute. She said get in the right lane. I am in the right lane. And realize the exit went to the left. So there I am now readjusting, trying to get across traffic to the left. And if I'd have kept going, it was a mistake. What did I learn? Don't fret the mistake. Learn from it. Okay. Because I talked to them. I said, well, you know, one time we were coming from Cleveland. I didn't know my way around Cleveland. It was dark. I had Pat loaned me his GPS that night. And I said, I'd already gone through the bad parts of Cleveland. And I'm like, yeah, we're going down through here. It put us on 42. I was like, I know where 42 goes. It goes right through my hometown. I'm good. Except I can see 71 right through the trees. And I'm stopping every 100 yards. I'm like, It's been a half hour and we're not any closer to home because we have to wait for every traffic light. And when you're in a hurry to get home, every traffic light, even though it might be 60 seconds, feels like it's 60 minutes. I learned from my mistake, and the next road that went to the left, I got on it. And I went over and I found an exit. Got on and we made it home in 45 minutes. But our mistakes teach us things because that's how we learn. If you tell me I've never made a mistake, I'll tell you you've never had a life. Because everybody makes a mistake. Did you ever overcook something? Yeah, I've done it a lot. Did you ever forget to turn the coffee pot off? And now every one of your minds just went to home. Did we turn the coffee pot off? It's just a mistake. And guess what? God's not waiting up in heaven to get the old, cut the old switch off the mistake tree. Understand something. He knows you're going to make a mistake. I didn't spank my children for mistakes. Rebellion, yes. A mistake is a mistake. It's no different than you turning a wrench on a bolt and you feel it slip. Every mechanic in here knows what just happened. You just stripped the threads. Big mistake. So somebody's going to come out and beat you because you made a mistake? God's not waiting. He's glad that you're actually doing something. There's so many people that got nice theologies sitting at home in their little ivory towers back there going, hey, you know, you can't make a mistake. You don't leave home. This is how you deal with people. I heard once that Dr. Spock, when he wrote his book about how to rear children, didn't have kids. And he repented when he had kids. Because he said, don't spank them. We forgot to advertise that part. He's like, they need it. No, they don't need abused. They don't need beat because they made a mistake. Rebellion, different story. You can ground them. There's a punishment. Not every punishment is worth a beating. But then he said, shalom. See, in our language, that word means peace. Boiled down to its simplest form, shalom simply means nothing missing, nothing broken. That's perfection. It's perfection in a chaotic world. See, the Jews, they say shalom, entering and leaving. They kind of got the Hawaiian thing going on. Aloha, aloha. You coming or going? But shalom. Shalom is also considered a divine name of God. And here's the wind. And it is considered so divine, you don't dare say it in the bathroom. Never thought about that, but it's also a guy's name. So if you go into the bathroom, public bathroom, and your friend Shalom is in there, hey, what's up, Shalom? You just said the name of God in a really bad place. But the word Shalom is not absent of chaos. It's at peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken, in spite. You know, people keep talking about, oh, you know, what's going on overseas? We're going to go World War III. No, we're not. I've had several people now, hey, you know, I'm like, how's Jesse doing? I'm like, hey, he's doing good. We talked to him the other day. Hey, has he ever heard of stop loss? Yeah, I'm sure he has. I knew several guys who were stop lost. And that's where they stop you from getting out of the military due to a conflict. Because he's in the 80s now on his days. And I said, I'm not worried about it. I shared with a friend yesterday. He was asking about him. He said, how's he doing? I said, oh, he's got like 83 in a wake up. And he said, oh, man, yeah. And then I think he even said something about stop loss. I said, oh, I ain't worried about it. I said, when he first got out of school, I said, he had soft orders at first, which they're really not soft. They just aren't the ones you move yet, but usually they stick to them. Yeah, he's going to go on to USS Kearsarge, which is an amphibious assault ship. It's got several thousand Marines on it, just like the USS Tripoli that just went out. Which, by the way, don't read into it. Every 6 months, one of those goes out from each coast. You didn't know that. And they've got 2,500 Marines. Because it's what we do. Every 6 months. It's regular rotation. But he said, oh, yeah. He's like, I said, yeah. I said, he had those orders for that. And I said, you usually don't change them. I said, but all of a sudden, he's the only one out of that class that gets orders to a dry docked aircraft carrier that has no planes. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? We just spent 6 months teaching this kid how to work on these things, and we're going to put him on a ship with no planes. He has yet to this day to touch one. And it's like, okay. He's like, I have no idea what to do. Never touched one, other than what they in class, and anybody in the military knows when they teach you how to work on things, they say, we're only going to teach you this much because you're going to get all this on the job. He's like, I got no OJT. I don't know how to work on that stuff. And he got those orders, and I've shared with you before, I said, Lord, I thank you. I said, Papa thanks you. Because my friend was like, hey, I bet Mama was doing some serious praying. I said, it wasn't as much Mama as it was Papa. He said, oh, I didn't think about it. I was like, yeah. I'm like, well, I don't live around that many Marines, man. Come on. In fact, he grew up with one. It was enough. 2,500, that's a whole nother deal. But folks, we have got to realize that in spite of what's going on, in spite of the wind that's blowing, shalom. I'm going to take a nap later on today. And I'm going to sleep on my couch. And right outside my house are them really big trees. And I'm going to sleep peacefully. Because my God is the one holding them trees in. If they fall, they ain't going to fall in my house. Whatever's happening overseas, my God knew it was going to happen. But what I rest in peace is I know what God has for my son. Military was just a little sidetrack to do some finish work that Papa couldn't do. So he needed his heavenly Papa to do this. Because now I'm fully confident that wherever he ends up going, he's going to get used. And I'm not here to talk about my family, but I'm telling you what's going on, and I'm still at peace. Because I'm like, yeah, I realize stop loss is very real. And but we got a video, was it 2 weeks ago now? Yeah, y'all remember Jesse playing guitar and singing here, and he hasn't done that since he left. When he was going to his church, he was a greeter. Loved him, and they love him down there just like we love him up here. And they loved him. And they'd come, oh man, we just love this guy. And I'm like, y'all don't know what this boy can do. And we got a video the other day. He was leading praise and worship. They said, we didn't know you could sing and play guitar. Like, yeah. Because I know what God's got for him. I don't know the whole plan. I just know, we already know God's going to use him. That's where my peace rests. God's got a plan for him. God's got a plan for Justin. God's got a plan for Joshua. God's got a plan for Grayson and Gage. And the big thing to do is, okay, God, they're in your hands. I want to grab them. I want to shake them sometimes, but I can't. Because you didn't do me like that. When I cursed your name, you didn't choke me out. When my brothers were overseas, I said, God, they're in your hands. Protect them. And they were in some bad crap. But I had to put them over into God's hands, and they're both alive today. You see, what's going on in the world does not dictate our peace. And if you're letting what's happening in Iran dictate your peace, what's happening in Cuba dictate your peace, Venezuela, Mexico, Canada, Columbus, Dearborn, you do not trust your God. Brother, you can't say it. I just did. Because it's the truth. I trust my God. What took place at Old Dominion the other day? If you didn't know, an Islamic terrorist, he actually been a member of the U.S. military, the National Guard, went in and started shooting in the ROTC class that he had once been a member of. Three people were shot, one's dead. I'm going to tell you right now, they weren't Marines, but boy, I'd be like, that's people who aren't afraid, who aren't cowards. They beat the guy to death. Well, you know, when somebody's there to kill you, it's a different deal. Just understand something. They go beyond your enemy, the enemy that Jesus is talking about. Because that's what Jesus said in Matthew. He said, if you really want to be perfect, love your enemy. Love and do not hate. They weren't beating the guy because they hated him. They were beating the guy because he hated everybody else and he was trying to destroy them. And that's where we have to understand, God, this is going on. Your word says that the military and the other governments are your way of justice in this world, of bringing about punishment to countries and nations who rebel against you. But if we spend our time on any social media getting all ramped up about what's going on, oh no, I've got, you know, I'm gonna start a fight here. I got a friend that started a fight the other day. I really don't care. By the way, the steak and lobster thing has been going on for decades. It's a tradition. I just never got to be a part of it. I'm like, man, where was I at when they were handing out the steak and lobster? We got fish sticks and hamburger, and we're not even for sure it was beef. But there's people fighting over that. Well, you know, brother, that's all on that. Do you know what? That's the DOD's budget for food. That included everything that month, all branches. It wasn't just the Army or the Air Force or the Marines or Navy. It was all of them. That was their dietary budget. But no, we want to fight about this. We want to lose our peace over that. And I don't promote the fraud that was going on in Minnesota. I don't promote any of this stuff. I think our government needs a house cleaning. Both sides, all parties. Because we got a lot of people that have been there way too long and ain't doing squat anymore. But we need godly people. People that are going to stand up and do what's right. And we need to be praying for them. And we need to pray for them even if they aren't godly. Because they're carrying an influence. But if we're spending our time, we're getting rid of our peace, we're like, I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to say what I want to say. How about you shut up? Unless you're going to speak the words that God has, zip it, Skippy. Because you're not helping the problem. Speak the words that God is speaking into the situation. I've got opinions on a lot of things, and I know sometimes I let them out up here. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with me on the steak and lobster. Doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't, because I've been there and I know what happens. And Pat's even shared with me over the years. He's like, "Oh yeah, man." He said, "You Marines up there in Vietnam." He said, "We would fly you guys steaks, man." That's in Vietnam they were flying. He said, "No, we'd always slip a couple." I'm like, "Well, why not? We would have slipped more than a couple. There'd have been cases missing." And but it's a common thing. One, it's high protein. You know, we don't think about all these little details that every person thinks about. First off, a military marches on its stomach. And if you eat 3 MREs a day, how many of you can survive on 2,000 calories a day? That's our daily budget, right? Each one of them MREs is 2,000 calories, and we eat 3 a day. We don't poop for 2 weeks. Just telling you the truth. They are not good for, so if you think you want to try an MRE, plan on having constipation. I've got one in my been in my drawer. It's been in that drawer for 13 years now. And I'm like, you know, I think it was about to expire when I put it in there. I don't think I'm going to try it. Really don't need any more stomach problems. But we don't think about all the details and things. God's got a plan for what's going to happen in Iran. He's got a plan for Israel, for Jordan. All these countries, there's a reason things are happening, and God's allowing it to happen. We need to be praying for our troops. We need to be praying for wisdom amongst our leaders and to shut the mouths of those who are splitting our country. If you're not a part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Come up with a solution. If you can't, just pray. I find that prayer has a whole lot to do. You know, I think it was 2 weeks ago, many of you probably saw it. A guy jumped up on a plane, a Southwest plane, and yelled, "Allah Akbar," and "Death to America." Brother, this ain't 2001. You're dealing with a lot of Gen Xers who are fed up with you, and that bunch of guys jumped up there and put him on the ground. I told my brother the other day, I said, "We're about to take a Southwest flight." And I said, I kept it down to her. I'm like, "I ain't telling her just yet if she ain't seen it." Because I'm like, come on, man. I can't even take my pocket knife on there. If anybody jumps up and says, "Allah Akbar," it's over. We throwing down. I'm good in tight spaces. But you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. You know why? Because I'm going to get on that plane and I'm going to pray. I've flown in tornadoes. I've flown in many, many storms. And people are frightened and they're, "Why aren't you afraid?" I said, "Because I belong to God. And if this God can't keep this plane in the air, nothing's going to keep this plane in the air. And if it ain't my time to die, you should be glad." And I'm still alive. So I ain't worried about it. Not worried about going into Columbus. Not worried about if I have to go to Dearborn. I'm going to be praying, I'll promise you that much. I'm going to be smart, but I'm going to go in harmless. It's not my job to hurt people, but I'm not going to let them kill me. Unless God says, "Lay your hands down." Not every martyr is beneficial to the cause. I've known many people, wouldn't it be so romantic to go die? What do you propose you're going to get accomplished by dying? They were going to Israel. They thought, wouldn't it be romantic to die in an attack over there? You fell down, and these are Christians. You fell down, hit your head. That ain't being martyred. The martyr we're going to face maybe someday, deny Christ. Or lose your head. In the immortal words of the group Vengeance, "I want my head chopped off. I will not deny my Lord." Well, we're going to kill everybody. We'll have a family reunion in heaven. How's that? But if we're losing shalom, think about it even as a name of God. Shalom. Jesus said, "My peace That's our word. My peace I leave. My name I leave. Nothing missing, nothing broken, I leave with you. And he said, and you go into a house, send your peace forward, and if it doesn't come back, walk out. That's paraphrased. Your peace. Am I in a peaceful house? I ain't gonna lie to you. When I was in Ukraine, and Armansk, I can't remember the name of the little village. I say it's a little village. I think it had like 10,000 people in it. They considered Armansk to be a village, and it had 50,000. But yet Mount Gilead had more stores and restaurants and gas stations. And Armansk is right on the line. It's the very tip of Crimea, or the northern tip. But they told me, they said, yeah, you're going to go down here with this pastor. And I said, okay, by myself, my first time in Europe. And you're going to go down and preach. And they said, just so you know, further down that way, there are communist sympathizers in the churches. And I found out after the meeting that we were going to go to this guy's house. He was going to host the dinner. We all sat around this big table and we're eating. And I think just before I went in, I found out he was one of the communist sympathizers. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I get to sit here. And then they told me, he said, do not tell anybody you were a Marine or ever any part of the U.S. military. Because as soon as they hear that, they forward that information on, and you might not make it out of the country because they think you're undercover. I'm like, I'm preaching the gospel, but I'm also there supposedly seeking ancient books because we had to practice deception to get into the country. Even Ukraine wouldn't let us preach. We were there under false pretenses, if you were. So if you want to know why the Crimea fell, that's why. It was full of Russian sympathizers. But God protected me. And I'm not going to lie, I was so glad. Even to land in Detroit. And if you've been to Detroit, I'm always glad to leave Detroit. But boy, when that plane took off in Kiev and we dropped over and landed in Amsterdam that night, I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They don't want to kill me here, I don't think. But I didn't lose my peace. But I did breathe a lot easier once I got here. You can't always control what's going on around you. The Bible says, though 1,000 may fall at my left hand and 10,000 by my right, I will not fear. That's what David's talking about. He's talking about being in a situation where people are dying. Things are happening. Bad things are happening. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to stress. Everybody's trying, well, I want to keep going. You keep going. You keep trusting God. Do what God says. Because if you don't, your peace is going to leave. That's the first thing. If you ever want to know how you missed God, where's your peace? I ain't been at peace for... There's your first thing. Why? Because God's peace is a part of him. He's the Prince of Peace. The angel shouted, what? Peace on earth? We'd like to say, oh yeah, he came down, he was going to bring, and Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. But yet the angels declared it. Because the peace that we think is not the peace that he was bringing. He was saying, you can go through wartime. You can go through all these tragedies and things that befall and still have my peace. 9/11 was an awful day. People I know lost their peace. I knew a guy, he'd been in the towers one time and he was bawling like a baby, and he's 20 years older than me. Bawling like a baby. Why? Oh, you just don't, tell me what I don't understand. I do know what they represented. You were a draft dodger, so don't tell me that your military background kicked in and you were. So what happened? He lost his peace. No longer was God the biggest thing. Terror. I will say this about Franklin D. Roosevelt. we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Fear comes at all of us, doesn't it? Oh, it's never heard that noise before. We cannot live worrying about all the things that are going on. You could be driving down the road and your car slips. Drive the best you can and start praying. And if you don't have time to enter into a time of prayer, just say, stop. Well, that seems to be too simple. No, it's not. Years ago, I shared with you about it. I was driving for Meals on Wheels, and I was on a back road, and it was just ice. They had the snow off, but it was just packed. And I went to make that turn. The road was a slight angle from the road I was turning on, and my two-wheel drive truck did not like that. And so there I go. I'm sliding right at a telephone pole, and I've got my foot, I'm bending that brake pedal, trying to stop, because it didn't have anti-lock brakes either. And I'm sliding right towards it, but it's our only vehicle. And I just said, no! And that truck stopped dead. I didn't hit the snowbank. I didn't hit the pole, because it would have totaled my truck. Didn't have time to go into an hour-long pre-prayer before doing this. I didn't even pray before I started driving. Oh, brother, well, that's okay. That's how God's moving through you. God has worked through me to step first. I've got you. I'll be with you every step of the way. And if something's got you shaken, pray. Lord, calm me. I think there might even be a song. Sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes God has to calm his servant. He has to calm us. Think about the disciples when they realized what the authority they actually had, the power they had. They could have done that. Every one of them could have got out of the boat and walked. But only Peter did it. And even he had a momentary lapse of reason. Hey, I'm a fisherman. This don't happen normally. He made a mistake. It wasn't out of rebellion. And Jesus simply said, why did you not have faith? We look at it as if Jesus got in the boat and grabbed the first oar and started beating Peter. That's not God's style. When God gets to the beating stage, you on his last nerve. Ask Sodom and Gomorrah. Ask the entire world before Noah. When God gets to that stage, yeah, stuff hit the fan. But that's not God's way to, he's long suffering. It means he's long patience. Lord, I fell down again. Then get back up. It's only when we lay there and we're going, oh Jesus. Pull your big boy britches up and stand up. Big boy, big girl, I don't care. Get them up and walk on. If you drop to a knee, get up. The song I was trying to think of a couple weeks ago, I was talking about, if you're going to fall, fall reaching. Reach for him. If you get a little too far, he'll help you back up. I hate to tell you, but the parable of the prodigal son is not as much about the son as it is the father. We focus on the son. And then everybody says, well, the other son, you know. Yeah, those are great things. The entire Bible is about taking you to the Father. Jesus came to lead you to the Father. The Holy Spirit came to lead you to the Father, to reveal the Father. Oh, but brother, I need to pray to the Holy Spirit. At no point in your Bible does it say to pray to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when you pray to the Father, I'm not going to start a doctrine on praying. My Bible says, pray to my Father, my Heavenly Father, my Papa, my Daddy, my God. The one who knows me better than anybody. He knows me better than myself. You know, don't you have all these grandiose ideas of what you'll, oh, I'll stand, I'll fight, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll love. And then when the moment came, you cowered. You ran away. God knew that. The shame you felt because you fell, God allowed that so that you'd get back up. Because maybe the next time, you won't. Maybe you'll think about it. I won't do that again. I know we all make God promises of that, don't we? God, if you get me out of this, I'll never do it again. Yep. Kind of like that video of the stupid sheep, right? There's a ditch. Rancher gets down there, he picks the sheep up, puts it on the right side. There's a fence over here. And the stupid sheep runs over, runs down, pop, back in the hole. Guess what happened? Rancher went back down through there, picked it back up, might have gave it a kick in the butt this time. Go that way. Or maybe grabbed hold of it by the scruff of the neck and said, come on, over here. Well, that's just so mean. Dying in a ditch is meaner. In a perfect world, shalom. Let's stand. When you hear of evil going on, don't rejoice, but rather pray. I heard somebody once say, they were trying to run down Morrow County, and it made me mad. So you're allowed to be mad. It made me mad. Oh, Morrow County's got all those perverts. Look at all those child molesters, those pedophiles. They're prosecuting them left and right over there. Amen and hallelujah. We're prosecuting them. What's your county doing? Oh, that's right. They turned a blind eye. Just recently, yesterday is when I saw the report. I think it was in Columbus. They made a big bust on a church because a volunteer worker, he was a youth leader, had child pornography on the church computer. So help me if you ever do that here. They ain't going to have a hard time finding you. Because you're going to be walking around kind of funny because my boot's going to be in your rear end. But pray for that church. They didn't know he was doing it. By the way, in the entire city of Columbus, it was the number three hot spot. That IP address was the number three hot spot. For downloading child pornography. We're finding judges. We're finding police officers, counselors. We've been praying for it. This is what's going to happen. But we need to start praying and believing that the judges and prosecutors who are in charge of these cases do their jobs and do them well. And I'm behind the death sentence, just so you know. One, what a bigger, I would think it'd be a bigger deterrent, but it doesn't stop people from killing each other. But I also read of a report last week of a guy who got two pedophiles as roommates in his cell. He killed them both. And they said, why? He said, I didn't feel safe. He said, I'm in here for life anyhow. for murdering, so what's two pedophiles? So, understand something. When we start praying for justice, justice doesn't always fall of, oh, we're going to go to jail. Because a child who's been raped lives it. Understand that. Well, they went to hell. Well, I pray that they find Jesus just before. They say Jeffrey Dahmer did. I do pray for him. But there's a time. Even the Bible, God had a death sentence. And understand something. God had a death sentence for things you and I would look and say, why that? Hey, heresy. It's heresy. Stone them. They didn't even get a trial. And it really wasn't heresy. It was a prophet speaking the word of God because the religious quit listening. And understand something. God hears those cries. There's a fly or something bouncing around on that ceiling back here. You can't hear, but I can. A little distracted. So let's pray. But remember, this week, pray for our leaders. I don't care if you don't like them. I don't care if you don't like their policies. I don't care if you don't like their standards. But understand, God has them there for a reason. Because he said all authority. And last time I checked, all meant all. Even the ones we don't like, they're there for a reason. Pray for them. Pray for that church in Columbus. We've got to start praying for each other. Like I said last week, I think we're more like white blood cells. We cover, we protect, and we pray. Because that's what white blood cells do. And we're powerful. We're not anemic little sick white blood cells. And the white blood cells get attacked too. But then the white blood cells kick back in and they start fixing that. All right, let's pray. Third closing. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for shalom. Lord God, nothing missing, nothing broken. Lord God, that is perfection. But that is your love. That is what perfection is. It's not us never making a mistake. It's not us doing everything exactly right. Because sometimes, Lord, the things that we do that we thought were wrong turn out to be exactly what you needed and what you wanted. Father, I thank you for those times. Lord, help us all to listen to your voice. Help us to overcome the disobedient, rebellious flesh. Lord, I pray now for your peace to rest. Rest upon each and every person. Lord, help your word solidify in their hearts that it becomes that rock that they stand upon in the times of storms. That it becomes the light in a world full of darkness. And it becomes wisdom in a time of idiocy. Now, Lord God, I thank you for your people. I bless them, Father. I bless them as they go in the building. I bless them as they go out of a building. I bless them on the road. I bless them in their homes. Lord God, bless their places of employment. Lord, I thank you right now that you're moving mightily in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.